Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1994, 15-year-old classmates Josh and Khadija catch his father and her mother kissing at the supermarket. That discovery and ensuing fallout lead the teenage pair to vow that they will never, ever cheat on anyone. And that pact launches a coming-of-age story that reaches across years and intergenerational angst with equal parts sadness and absurdity. Good Kids is the first novel by Benjamin Nugent. It's already landed on Oprah's must-read list and earned Benjamin comparisons to the likes of Jennifer Egan and Jonathan Franzen. Benjamin Nugent also teaches creative writing as a faculty member at the Southern New Hampshire University, and we are happy to have him back on Word of Mouth. Hi there.
Hi, Virginia.
So, Infidelity is what really gets the plot rolling in this book. Talk a little bit about the relationship between these two kids, Josh and Khadija, and how it changes when they spy their parents kissing in the aisles of the organic food market.
Well, Josh and Khadija don't know each other very well on the very first page. And one of the first things that happens in the book is Josh is grocery shopping with his father, and they run into Khadija, who's grocery shopping with her mother. His father and her mother go off, and they spy on them because they're bored and they're awkward around each other because they're 15-year-olds of opposite sexes. And they catch their parents kissing in the supermarket. They're actually hiding in an African-American History Month display that has kente cloths draped over some tables. And seeing this gives them a kind of detective mystery to figure out together, and that winds up forming a bond between them.
It's so Western Mass. I mean, for one thing, they call this the Day of the Dads, because Khadija refers to her mother as the pants in the family, I suppose.
She does.
But yeah. This sets up this sort of class education type, you know, they're gone to the organic food market to get food for dinner, wine and ice cream. And here we are, we're in Western Mass in a college town where both of Josh's parents are professors. Mm-hmm. They're both rebels in their own right.
That's right.
It sets up a very different kind of teenage rebellion. I mean, that's the question. How does one rebel when one's parents are rebels?
Exactly. And, you know, what's interesting about Josh to me is the way that he tries to rebel against his father and his mother to some extent with this fantasy of child rearing, that the way you raise kids for Josh is a form of rebellion, or the way he believes he will raise kids. Mm-hmm. And that desire to kind of defeat his parents in this less conventional way of defeating them.
Josh and Khadija are both children of the 90s. Now, this is not a generation that's really familiar to us in a lot of literature. You know, our sort of coming-of-age novels all seem to be set in the 60s. So what defines this generation for you?
Well, you know, it's my own generation. I'm a child of the 90s more than any other decade. And I think for Josh and Khadija, what about the decade defines them is the sense that the previous generation had the really spectacular historical rebellion, and that you have to be sneaky and innovative in finding a way to construe the 60s generation as this rotting husk of its former self that needs to be overturned so that you can have some kind of drama in your own history. Hmm. I think that's what makes it distinctive.
We do spend the first part of the book with the teenage Josh. In the second, he's in his late 20s. He is briefly part of a very successful band, but that's kind of gone away. And he's living this sort of in-between life. It calls to mind, you know, can we call this a coming-of-age novel when the character is not really a grown-up?
You know, I think he does start to become a grown-up towards the end. And I think in that sense it is a coming-of-age novel. It's a kind of Bildungsroman. But I think it's also a kind of coming-of-age novel about his father. I think Linus is a character who has a moral path in this book, a moral quest, almost as much as Josh, the protagonist, does.
So Josh is in his apartment in Manhattan, you know, sort of like, or Brooklyn, imagining everyone being out, you know, someplace where he isn't, making the next Patti Smith group without him. I'm wondering about this whole
he's in college, yeah.
This whole band experience, you know, is that based on something that you, were you in a band?
I was in a band.
Did you play the bass?
No, I was a keyboard player. But in fact, we did have one song that was in two commercials, and that's how we made all our money. And that is exactly
that
what happens to Josh.
Book.
And in fact, I used the lyrics from our song as the lyrics for Josh's song, because I figured I co-wrote them technically, and so no one could sue me for using them.
You've received no shortage of praise, for the very sharp, very funny prose, and I'd love to hear some of some of your writing. Josh meets Julie. She's the host of an Animal Planet-like TV show, and they go on a date, and she reveals that she is a Republican. Can you pick it up from there?
Sure. I had the sense Julie might believe that if your parents were Republican, you had to say you too were Republican, or you were some kind of traitor. It was an ethnicity, hence the wide-legged defensive samurai stance. This was her way of thinking, and it was easy for me to recognize because it was my own. My blood and soil identity was liberal Democrat. I felt that in declaring her partisanship, Julie had confessed she was a spy from a country at war with my own tiny, highly militant, perpetually threatened, essentially Israel-like, generally anti-Israel nation-state, the Republic of Watsbury / Cambridge / Burlington / Brooklyn / Eugene / Berkeley / Santa Cruz / Madison / Portland. I had been born one of its citizens. Thinking of myself differently because of a trifle like my views on a government policy was inconceivable. I was ready to slip behind Julie and drag her to one of my bases for questioning. Spy versus spy, I thought. I felt suspicion and desire flow between the Republican, not Republican, and me.
That's Benjamin Nugent. He's reading from Good Kids. It's his first novel. He's author of another book, a nonfiction book called American Nerd. Well, this gets to that sort of tribe, identity, and really allegiance to identity. I think that is part of a struggle in this story. Even though the relationship between Josh and Julie develops, seems good, grows, honest, healthy, yet he always feels this pull back to Khadija, with whom he made that childhood vow.
Yeah.
It strikes me that vow in many ways makes him belong to something. He's got an allegiance.
That's right. It's a much clearer cultural inheritance that to have a vow you made yourself in childhood. He kind of gave himself a sort of value system that he tries to live by, but it's also kind of flimsy. It was something he came up with when he was a 15-year-old.
It can also make you think you're a good person, in some way. Do you know? Like, I'm staying true to this vow.
That's right. Staying true to the vow is ultimately something he finds very difficult to do. But I think being able to construe of yourself as a good person is what the characters of this book are always working really hard to do. And in some ways, even though the protagonist is Josh, I think the person who manages to actually make the most moral decisions toward the end is Josh's father, who he regards as the amoral foil he never wants to imitate.
Well, there's a difference between his parents, his former hippie parents.
Yeah.
His mother still does, 100 prostrations every night. She's a Buddhist.
Yeah.
And Julie's very, very traditional American story parents. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the way that he navigates that or views it.
Sure. Josh, in theory, believes in people who come from less privileged countries becoming more privileged. But when he's confronted with the reality of what they believe, finds he can't gel with them at all, that in fact these people who are from poorer countries have kind of fought their way up, have a much more libertarian way of looking at the world than he does, and that his own sort of downwardly mobile liberal family does. And so it's this awkward, and this happens to Linus too. There's another point where Linus confronts some renters, his dad, who he's renting a cabin to, and they don't correspond to his image of what poor people should be like. and it's the same with Josh meeting Julie's parents. They don't conform to his image of what successful immigrants should be like, of what they should believe.
It's actually quite a hilarious scene when things explode with those renters.
Thank you.
Josh's mother in the book is an academic. Now, we know from your previous visit to this program that your mother is a college professor. I'm wondering if there are any similarities between your mother and Josh's.
It's funny. No. My mother asked me, and there were other people I used as inspiration for that character, but never my own mother.
Hmm. Well, you do stay in touch with Josh's parents throughout the book. His mother never remarries.
That's correct.
His father is always seeming to struggle with the same. He cycles around to the same questions as Josh, trying to figure out what love is and how it fits into one's own vision of success and happiness and the self, I think. Does that search ever really end?
Well, for Linus, Josh's father, he winds up remarrying. And he remarries a woman who really wants to have children. And his vision of himself was always of escaping this role of father he had wound up in and then decided was both kind of environmentally problematic and not what he really wanted. And so his decision, Linus's decision at the end, is in a lot of ways the same as Josh. Like, what would a kind of moral child rearing look like, because he's suddenly confronted with this woman he's in love with who's demanding children?
Have your students read your book, do you know?
Oh, I would never expect them. I would never quiz them on it.
Well, I wonder, when you tell them about writing their own novel, like, what is what's the coming of age story for the aughts?
You know, that's an excellent question. It has yet to be written, which is one of the things that's exciting about being their age. I think, you know, the thing I would never do would be to show them this and be like, this is how it's done, boys and girls. and so I don't know what they would think of it. But I often encourage them to try to find a new form. You know, I mean, a lot of people have kind of tried to find a form for the aughts novel where it's text messages and Facebook or something. And it all feels a little superficial. Mm. And I feel like it has to come from people their age.
I wonder how your kids will rebel against you, Benjamin. Do you know?
I await with bated breath.
Well, it's like the family ties thing, you know. The liberal parents have the conservative kid who wears a suit. Is this just a cycle that keeps going on and on?
I think my children will say, God, I can't believe you work in print. That medium is so dead. I think that'll be the response. I think they'll become the CEOs of Amazon and Facebook. I think that's how my kids will rebel.
Let's hope. Benjamin Nugent, author of the novel Good Kids, thank you so much for
coming
in.
Thank you so much, Virginia.
You can find a link to more on the book, including reviews, as well as a link to Benjamin's earlier book, American Nerd. That's all on our Facebook page at Word of Mouth Radio.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Coming up, the joyful sounds of the ukulele from the North Country when Word of Mouth continues.
The fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never